This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Enterprise BizBite. It's Friday, the 21st of May, 2021. It's 12:05. My name's Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Arvind Yuvraj
and Christine Wong.
Bit of a funny Friday today in terms of moods here in the studio. We've just had Jeff Sandu on the news, and Arvind didn't even recognize his voice.
You know how people sound on the radio.
You know, we in fact do because we work in radio.
Yeah. You know what
Maybe
I mean?
We worked with Jeff in radio.
Yes.
It's, you know. Mm-hmm.
Jeff, can you believe this? I'm sure you're listening. Can you believe this? Anyway, that's what we're not talking about Jeff Sandu anymore today.
Sadly.
We're talking about family businesses and small and family businesses. What we're looking at today is PwC's Family Business Survey from 2021, the Malaysian chapter. We'll be talking a little bit about that and breaking down some numbers and some facts and some figures. And we wanted to ask you about small and family businesses. What can they do to make you more aware of them and aware of the services that they offer? You know, in the past, it would have been they can post flyers or they can, you tell your friends about how good they are and that kind of thing. You know, what can they do now? Is it good for them to increase their marketing budget? Should they be more active on social media? Should they be digitizing? All of these things are things that we want to hear from you. So that's what we're asking you. What can small and family businesses do to make you more aware of them or the services that they offer? Do let us know over on Twitter, on Instagram, and of course via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. We have an expert on the phone as well. We'll be hearing from Fung Mei Lin. She's the entrepreneurial and private business leader and a tax partner over at PwC Malaysia. We'll be hearing from her shortly. That's what I'm talking about, and that's what's running throughout the show. We'll also be hearing about...
We're going to talk about what a full MCO in Selangor might mean for the economy and for the labour market.
And then we'll finish up with how to have a conversation with your family about vaccines without getting into a conflict.
No violence.
Mm.
Right. So the COVID-19 pandemic has forced many family businesses to adapt or get left behind. Many have shown resilience, but can they continue to stay one step ahead and take on the unexpected challenges of the future? In the PwC's Family Business Survey, Survey 2021, the Malaysian chapter, PwC explore how family businesses in the country plan to move forward from the pandemic. Their insights are drawn from 49 interviews with key decision makers in local family businesses out of 2,801 total interviews globally. So the methods of the past are no longer enough to ensure business sustainability. A new approach is required, one based on accelerated digital transformation, prioritization of ESG, environmental, social and governance goals, and professional family governance. So family businesses need to act now if they aspire to build a solid legacy for future generations, but are they ready? Let's have a look at some of the themes that PwC broke down. The first theme is organizational performance and priorities. So the experience of going through the COVID-19 pandemic has served as a wake-up call for many family business leaders. Many of them have doubled down their efforts to focus on expanding into new markets whilst defending their core business, with plans to continuously adapt, manage risk, and to stay relevant. Relatively optimistic, 92% of respondents anticipate the business to return to pre-pandemic growth rates in 2022. Mm-hmm. Sounds good. 61% of respondents are prioritizing the increase in usage of new technologies, 59% each in improving digital capabilities, expanding into new markets and client segments, protecting their core business, with the Malaysian government planning out measures to promote digitalization and sustainability. Family businesses that have yet to place emphasis on these areas might need a shift in their priorities moving forward. So then in terms of digital capabilities, what we're looking at is once an option, they're now a necessity. However, only 24% of Malaysian respondents say they have strong digital capabilities, while 76% believe they have a long way to go. So that's in terms of digital capabilities. In terms of family cohesion and trust, 80% of Malaysian family businesses place protection of the family business as the most important family asset. Mm. If so, then why do only 59% of Malaysian family businesses have some form of ownership governance policy? Mm-hmm. It is essential for family businesses to plan succession well, ensuring that the next generation is equipped with the necessary tools to drive the business forward in the right direction. Trust and communication amongst family members are key. However, only 45% of Malaysian respondents say that all family members involved have similar views or priorities about the company's direction, whilst 57% say that relevant information is shared in a transparent and timely way between family members. Sustainability. Only a handful of Malaysian family businesses are prioritising environmental, social and governance initiatives, with only 12% planning to increase the organisation's social responsibility and 6% planning on reducing the business's carbon footprint. I'm sure there's a little bit of an explanation for that. They probably have other things to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. What do you think about these figures?
Even if you look at like the changes between a couple of years ago and now, that should tell you more than enough.
Yeah.
And that's like, yeah, I mean, it's quite obvious, right? People would have expected these figures to happen. But also looking like, I was thinking like moving forward, how do you come out of a funk like this?
Mm.
You know, like what kind of effort do you need to put in to actually crawl out of, you know, this massive, massive slump, right? So looking at that figure where they said that they could go back to pre-pandemic levels by 2022, for me, it sounds optimistic, but it also sounds very hopeful. Like, I'm happy that most people think they can go back to business as usual by 2022, if things are back to normal by then.
Mm. Chris?
I am surprised by the seeming sort of inability to communicate clearly.
Right.
You know, considering that these are family businesses, and in my head, I don't know, at least for me, with my family, communication is really important, and we work on, even if we have different forms or styles of communication, we try to work on understanding each other. And if that was in a business capacity, that's even more important, especially the fact that, you know, they don't, like, the fact that the core values don't seem to be translating into their actions, that is surprising to me. I would assume that, you know, family businesses would be better at that than, you know, a general startup or anything like that.
That discussion about what's going to happen next and how things should be
going. Because there's more at stake, right?
Yeah,
you would think.
You would think so. For me, it's the 24% of respondents saying that they have strong digital capabilities. And I think...
In this day and age,
yeah, especially for a family business, you know... We talk about this so often and to so many different entrepreneurs and to so many different businesses about how, you know, hyper important it is now to be digital and to get online and do it. It's, right now, it feels as though the only way to ensure almost the legacy of your business is anyway is by being online, is by being digital and letting people know that you're aware.
Mm.
I mean, there are some great, great family businesses out there, and for the most part, the only way that people know about these is because somebody has told me about them. You know, Arvin has suggested, oh, this grocer here or that guy over there is selling this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's how I know about them. And even during the first MCO, when we were hearing about people that needed fresh vegetables or fresh fruit or anything, and we found out about these wonderful homegrown little farms somewhere or home producer stuff that are family businesses, I knew nothing about them until people started kind of, you know, getting together and telling each other about these things. And that just seemed a little bit odd, you know,
a little bit
too old school. Yeah. Is that just because of where we are, you know, and we're digital natives, as it were?
I would be curious also to know, you know, if the family businesses who feel like they are, you know, more equipped digitally, the rough age range of the people who are currently in a leadership position.
Yeah.
I'd be curious just to see if that has affected, you know, how naturally they've taken to, you know, transitioning into a digital space.
Right. The interesting thing is, on a related note, I've done a few interviews, you know, fairly recently, and they're around family businesses, but they're also around, you know, this idea of getting digital. And that you're right, Chris, that stumbling block is that, well, things have been working fine so far. You know, why do we need to change anything when things have been going fine? You know, and they're kind of in that little bubble.
Mm.
And it's the idea of kind of expansion and moving on and doing other things that they don't really see. Some of them don't really see.
Don't fix what's not broken kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah. We can't be in that situation anymore, or they can't be in this situation anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's just our opinions. We'd like to hear yours, of course. What can small and family businesses do to make you more aware of them and the services that they offer? Let us know. Give us some suggestions. Get us via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Twitter or Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. When we come back, of course, we'll be hearing from Feng Mei Lin, the entrepreneurial and private private business leader from PwC Malaysia. Music into the break. It's Cool and the Gang here on BFM 89.9.
Brave Finance Managers, BFM 89.9.
If you're often bothered by symptoms like bloatedness, wind, constipation or diarrhea, don't brush it off to try and self-medicate. Join Professor Dr. Raja Effendi Raja Ali, President of the Malaysian Association of Gastroenterology and Hepatology, to find out how these symptoms could be linked to inflammatory bowel disease and why it's important to manage it appropriately. Tune in to Health and Living today at 4 p.m. to find out more about that. Now, back here to Enterprise BizBytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio by
Arvind Yabranj
and Christine Wong.
We'll be with you till about 1 o'clock this afternoon. We're asking you, what can small and family businesses do to make you more aware of them and the services that they're offering? Let us know via WhatsApp 018-789-8899, Twitter and Instagram at BFM Radio. Do we have responses, Chris?
We do. So on Instagram, we've got Nala the Nala, who says, be on Google Maps or Instagram if possible, and also support local platforms need to expand their repertoire and include more family businesses.
Over on Twitter, we have a message from Kenny Wong who says, I guess some form of marketing is necessary, whether old school or new world, organic word of mouth or concerted paid advertising. Social media should be leveraged on, particularly now that we are all working from home and are online virtually all the time. Getting on radio helps too.
Yeah, this is very true. Yeah, thanks, Kenny. Recently, I don't know if you remember this, but not too long ago, I bought a vegan cake, right? Mm. You remember this, right? And I heard about this through word of mouth, through a WhatsApp group for our work WhatsApp group, right?
Yep.
And so I went ahead and purchased it, and it was delicious, and found them via Facebook. Had a bit of a chat with them, and, you know, do you have an Instagram account? Maybe we could share it and help out with that kind of... And their response was kind of... have an Instagram account but don't really use it. And so there's that kind of attitude as well, and there's nothing wrong with that because these people have normal lives and they do other things as well, so obviously they don't necessarily want to be using Instagram. And it's that idea of how do you convince some people that you should be leveraging on it, really, right?
Yeah, especially when the algorithm works so well, or so like invasively, quote unquote. If you look for one home business or one small business for something, a particular thing, it's going to flood your feed with all these other people.
Yeah, yeah. So the question again, what can small and family businesses do to make you aware of them and their services that they offer? Let us know. Now, of course, we have on the phone line, it's Fung Mei Lin. She is the entrepreneurial and private business leader over at PwC Malaysia. Maylin, take us briefly through the key findings of the Family Business Service survey. I've done that every time I've introduced it. I'll start that again. Sorry, Maylin. Take us briefly through the key findings of the Family Business Survey. What were the highs and lows that stood out for you from the survey?
The Malaysian cut of the 2021 Family Business Survey was carried out last year, and we had 49 Malaysian respondents out of 2,800 respondents from 87 countries who willingly shared their views in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic. There are four key findings from the survey. Firstly, slightly more than 90% of the Malaysian family businesses said that they were optimistic that their business will either grow steadily or grow quickly in 2022 as compared to 2021, where only 61% of Malaysian family business responded the same. In terms of performance in 2020, it was a mixed bag. Only 47% experienced growth compared to 55% globally. And we had 29% Malaysian businesses seeing a sales reduction compared to 19% globally. So this is very encouraging. Secondly, in terms of digital capabilities, it is among the top three priorities for Malaysian family businesses. However, only 24% said they had strong digital capabilities, with 76% very honestly saying that they had some way to go in terms of having strong digital capabilities. So this is an area to watch out for. Thirdly, we observed that ESG does not appear to be a priority for Malaysian family businesses yet. Most Malaysian family businesses currently are focusing on looking after the community, with 59% confirming this. However, only 45% of Malaysian family business say that they have a responsibility to fight climate change and its related consequences, and only 6% say reducing carbon footprint is a key priority for family business. So this is definitely an area where Malaysian family businesses could improve on. Fourthly, we ask Malaysian family businesses on the level of cohesion and trust within their family business. 61% said their family members regularly communicate about the business, but only 45% of all family business family members involved or affected have similar views or priorities about the company's direction. So, given the gap in the family alignment on the company direction and levels of transparency, it's important that family businesses take steps to minimize potential conflict.
Mm-hmm. So embracing change may be difficult for family businesses that are built on tradition and founders' values. How can they adapt to the dynamic business landscape while staying true to their purpose?
Embracing change does not necessarily mean compromising on your family business values and purpose. Values and purpose should be at the heart of the family and the business that it owns. For example, I spoke to a consumer product family business where its sales had sort of, you know, plateaued over the last 3 years as it was relying on sales for its current brand range of products. The current brand range, you know, is targeted at mass market range of customers. The current brand range was in existence since like 20 years ago. It has done well, but it appears that the customers' tastes have shifted and more competitors have entered the market. So the family business decided to launch a new brand range and new products to cater to a different market segment. The family business said that its value is to deliver products that bring out the best for its customers and for nature. The expansion of the brand range and the family business's decision to target a different market segment is actually aligned with their values of being passionate about how they can adapt to changes and perseverance in continuously innovating for the better. Therefore, it's important to recognize what are your family business's values and purpose. As for a lot of successful families, this is like the glue that keeps the family together and consequently their business too. It's not an easy topic to discuss, but family business should start having those conversations for succession and family cohesion purposes. And I think you'd be happy to know that there is actually a structured way to do this.
Right, I see. So, Mei-Lin, you've established that planning for the uncertain future has never been more important than in the current climate. Are family businesses increasingly turning to the next generation for leadership?
Our 2021 Family Business Survey points out that, number one, presently, about 70% of family businesses have next-generation family members working in the business. Number two, in the next 5 years, the next generation is expected to become majority shareholders in the family business. Number three, in the next 5 years, the respondents indicate from the survey that they would want their family business to be family-controlled rather than family-managed. And 80% of Malaysian respondents want to protect the business as the most important family asset. So the ongoing COVID-19 has taught us that nothing is certain and succession planning is important. Both generations need to define roles and responsibilities and rights of the owners and to carefully design ownership and leadership roles. It's not one generation over another. Becoming an owner and a leader takes time and practice. Best practice suggests that if the family can co-develop a succession plan, both from a leadership perspective and from an ownership perspective, with contributions from, you know, both current and next generation. This would potentially reduce conflict, as there is, you know, already some buy-in from the future family shareholders.
So in the report, ESG is seen to be crucial in future-proofing the business, but family businesses often view this as a cost. What's needed to help them perceive ESG differently?
I think we are at the stage of education or implanting awareness on how ESG should be viewed on a long-term basis and as a competitive advantage instead of being perceived as a cost. Yes, it may be more expensive now, you know, to implement processes and assets that are green, but in the long run, it would benefit the future generation. Family businesses are the best group in my mind, you know, to take ESG to the next level, given that most family businesses think in generations. It's partly a mindset shift and also partly a change in the environment, meaning, you know, the regulators, consumers, governments, basically the infrastructure, you know, to make that push for family businesses, you know, to take it to the next level.
Mm-hmm. And what has the pandemic revealed about the upskilling needs of family businesses, and how can they start upskilling their upskilling journey if they haven't already done so?
If you recall, the 2021 Family Business Survey Malaysian Card revealed that 76% of Malaysian family businesses have some way to go in terms of having strong digital capabilities. Nowadays, upskilling is closely tied with digital upskilling, as well as any skill where there is an increase in demand. For example, like data analytics skills and coding skills. Soft skills such as curiosity, innovation, and adaptability are equally important. Building a culture that will support this environment will be foundational to a family business's upskilling journey. A lot of family businesses place continuous learning or education as a priority and as a value as well. And this is a good way to build the culture of upskilling. To start off, it would be good for family businesses to identify skills gaps and mismatches, assess the current environment and challenges, and identify the size and nature of the family businesses, you know, skills gap and mismatches is important. Next, the family business can decide where to start and what to prioritize. Doing it in phases is recommended so that it does not come as a shock, you know, to the stakeholders, your employees, and also family members that are working in the business, and to secure buy-in among the users.
Right. And final question here, what are some other tough decisions that family businesses need to make in order to stay competitive? What can they learn from their counterparts in other economies?
I will comment from the perspective of keeping the family and the business together in the long term. Family businesses need to be clear and aligned on their objectives. When this diverges, that's where you potentially see conflicts arising and or sellouts. Some tough decisions, for example, who should lead? Who should own the shares? How does the family see the strategic direction of the business? Should family members work in the family business? You know, where family businesses are able to address these tough and emotional decisions, it can then focus on moving the business forward progressively. In regions such as Europe and North America, where family businesses have tried and tested different ways to, you know, sustain the family business, we can learn from their mistakes and pick up the best practices to strengthen our Malaysian family businesses. For example, experience have shown that families that meet up at least once a year, no matter where in the world they are, effectively can help foster a closer relationship than relying on chance to foster that close relationship among family members, especially when you are in the third generation or fourth generation.
Great. Thanks so much for that. That was Fung Mei Lin, the entrepreneurial and private business leader over at PwC Malaysia. We've been taking a look at some of the figures from PwC's Family Business Survey 2021, the Malaysian chapter. They've been exploring how family businesses in the country plan to move forward from the pandemic. And some of the insights are drawn from 49 interviews with key decision makers in local family businesses out of 2,801 interviews globally. Led us to the question of what can small and family businesses do to make you more aware of them and the services that they offer. Do let us know. Get us via WhatsApp if you'd like to, 018-789-8899, Twitter and Instagram, both at BFM Radio. Of course, it is Friday, the 21st of May, 2021. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll have an update from Bursa at break. We'll be moving on to our second story of the day, which is all about what a full MCO in Selangor could mean for the economy. And then we'll be wrapping up with talking about vaccines at home without conflict. That's all coming up for the rest of the show. We'll be right back after Joan Jett and the Blackhearts with Bad Reputation here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.